Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to the crowd, "Take care, be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." Then he told him a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich towards God." This is the gospel of the Lord. So may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. We've spent the past few weeks, or rather I've spent the past few weeks, trying to tell you a little bit about parish giving. And don't worry, this sermon isn't about parish giving as such. I'm not going to talk about it again tomorrow. If you look at today, if you look in your service papers, there is a notice about it on the penultimate page, if you're wondering what on earth I'm talking about. But basically, it's if you're in a position to help us in church here at St. John's with a regular financial gift, and many of you already do, and some of us anyway aren't in a position to do that, and others give in other ways, this is one way in which you can give. It's just, of course, that a regular gift to church helps us to plan and look ahead with a reasonable level of certainty, income-wise, that is. So, as I say, I won't go through all the details again now. It's all there for you. But today's gospel is, in part at least, about the things that we treasure, where we put our treasure, where our hearts are. And it's not just an issue around finance and money, how we spend it, what we do with it. Nevertheless, how we spend it and what we do with it can say a lot about us and our priorities, the pressures in our lives, our attitudes, and so on. But it's not just about material wealth and what we do with those assets. It also says something about our levels of fear and generosity. Chief Brody in Jaws, I hope you've seen the film at some point in your life, because I think it's 50, believe it or not, 50 years old this year, embarks on a seaborne mission to kill the great white shark that's terrorizing the town he is chief of police of, Amity, a seaside town somewhere in North America. I think it's fictitious, but I'm not sure about that, actually. He has a hardened seafarer called Quinn on the boat with him. It's actually his boat. And he also has a marine biologist called Matt Hooper. Anyway, None of that is crucially important, but what Brodie finally says when he claps his eyes on the enormous great white shark in very close proximity to the boat are words to Quinn, the boat owner. You're going to need a bigger boat. And it's an iconic moment in 20th century film. And today's gospel might be otherwise entitled, You're Gonna Need a Bigger Barn. Except, of course, that you don't. Now, Brodie's comments were motivated, obviously, by understandable fear at the size of the shark, as well as the size of the boat that he was in. But our attitude to our possessions says a lot about our attitudes in general. Hanging on to them, building them up, protecting and defending them for all sorts of justifiable and sensible reasons, particularly if we've got others in our care and people that we are caring for and hoping to provide for. But we can take an overly defensive attitude and store up all that treasure for the rainy day which never arrives, actually, or when it does arrive isn't quite as rainy as we thought it was going to be. Our possessions can be a useful tool, of course they can, and they can make life a lot better for us. Our wealth can do that for us and for the others around us. But it can also be a millstone around our necks in many ways and lead us to live a kind of shrunken life, holding back, seeing other people or outside agencies as a threat, for example. And the more that we have that we don't need, ironically, we should feel more secure. We, in fact, end up feeling more afraid of losing it, of the fact that it might be taken away from us. The reality is that we can never have enough. And building bigger barns, as it were, means that we can spend too much of our time and energy maintaining the barns rather than enjoying the harvest. Ebenezer Scrooge in the Christmas Carol needed a sobering encounter with reality, the reality of life and death, the reality of his past and his future and his present before he could understand where to put his priorities. We're unlikely to have that kind of dramatic intervention, and so what we need to do instead is to have more discipline around our praying in respect of these things, our praying, our acting, our doing. So everyone's circumstances are different, and other folk, of course, many folk live from paycheck to paycheck, and there's no way they can put anything spare into any kind of a barn, never mind to think about building a bigger one. But all of us as Christian people are called to think about where our treasure is, truly. And that's our treasure in the widest sense. Where are we investing? Where are we investing our time, our energy, our assets, our finance, etc.? So I'd like to pause at this point, and don't worry, I'm not going to get you to talk to each other on this occasion. So without turning to your neighbour and just simply looking at your boots, if you'd like to, just think about whether or not at any point in the last week or so that you've thanked God for anything or anybody. Just think about whether or not you've thanked God for a situation, a person, whatever it may be. Living thankfully and gratefully is really important, and it's central to our spiritual well-being. So I'm not casting a judgment on anybody here this morning. I lack thanksgiving in my prayer. But it might be a symptom of a life lived fearfully, of our not recognizing God as the source of everything, as the source of all. Now, I don't know what your trust levels are like as far as God is concerned. Mine are definitely at the could do better level. I worry way too much about things I don't need to, and I also worry about what I don't have and spend too little time thanking God for what I already do have, easily overlooked. I spend too much time wishing I was richer or cleverer or looked younger or wasn't so anxious or whatever it happens to be. But we need to be very careful that we don't become entirely distracted by those things, and that we live in the present, and that we see God at work, and we look consciously for those ways in which God is at work in our lives. And one of the most important ways that we can do that is to put thanksgiving right at the top of our list of priorities when we're praying. Because actually, if we have thankful and grateful hearts, then we do become more generous people, not just generous with our money, but generous with our time and our energy. And it makes us more able and ready to share our joy, the joy that God has given us, the joy of God as the source of our entire lives. And so we want to share that good news more readily instead of shrinking back in fear. Now it's summertime and things are relatively quiet, not for everybody by any means, but it's school holidays and things are generally a little bit quieter. So it's a good time, perhaps, at this point in the year to reflect on God's generosity towards us. So wherever we're thinking about what we do with our time and energy, our talents, our money, or whatever else it happens to be, let's first of all think about the ways in which God has been generous to us in the course of our lives. And the more readily we can recognize that generosity, the happier we will be, the more joyful we'll be, and we'll be rich towards God, richer towards God, living with an open hand rather than with a closed fist. Now, those of my acquaintance who live that way generally are less anxious people, and they see life as a gift, life itself as a gift from God. And of course, being rich towards God means being rich towards our neighbour too. The two go together. That's very clearly at the centre of the Christian message and at the centre of Jesus's message and what he wanted to say to those who follow him. Love God and love your neighbour. If you simply claim to love God without making a difference to your neighbour, then you're on some sort of spiritual, mystical trip. If you simply claim to love your neighbour without loving God, then that's laudable and important work. But essentially, God is not at the heart of it, and God is not at the centre of it, and we do not see God as gift. So those two things side by side. The man who built the bigger barns wasn't really helping anybody. That's part of the point of what Jesus was saying. He was only thinking that he was helping himself. And even if that wasn't his intention, that was the end result, and he paid the penalty for it eventually. So take a little more time in these weeks ahead now to reflect on God's generosity and God's blessing in your life. And keep coming back again and again and again to those things in your prayers and asking God to show you what you might have overlooked.